Hello, friends. My name's Ted Marr. I'm the radio show host of the Out of This World radio program. We focus in on psychic phenomenon and metaphysics. We have in a studio today one of the best astrologers and tarot readers in the Seattle area, Karen Winland. Karen, how did you become interested in this field?
Because I'm a control freak, like most of us. I need to know what's going on in life. And so tarot and astrology just answer those questions for us. Tarot is a present tense oracle. It talks about what's going on in life right now. And astrology looks at the big picture and says, am I headed the way I want to be? Am I being who I want to be?
Karen, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a reading?
Show up at East West Bookshop every Friday. Or you can email me at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com. Again, you can reach me at East West Bookshop every Friday or at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com.
Thanks, Karen.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Candia Sanders. She's considered one of the best intuitive and energetic healers in the Northwest, and I'd like to introduce you to my audience. Candia, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the services you provide?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ted. I am an energetic healer and intuitive. I read the emotional, mental, physical, and sexual body, and then I align them for health and vitality. People come to me for relationships, for career issues, and most importantly, their health. And then, like I said, I can see into the body, and I do my magic and align them, and people come back happy and healthy and feeling alive and spirited.
Wonderful. You probably pick up where the medical profession leaves off, I assume.
That is my job.
Well, good. And Candy, how long have you been doing this?
I have been intuitive since I was little, and I mean 4 years old. Medical intuitive in the 90s and the healing in the 90s. So I've integrated those into my work for the last nearly 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, friends, if you need the help of an excellent intuitive and healer, I strongly urge you to contact Candia. Her link's on my website, which is www.wix.com/out of this world. And I've actually had her do some work for myself, and I've been very happy, and I strongly recommend her to all my listeners. Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus, and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease. Try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures. But essentially, it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades, where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at Forecast, dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr. This is the first program of my Out of This World radio program with your host, me, Ted Marr. The program will focus on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomenon, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in the Seattle area and beyond. We will only have the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you simply will not hear elsewhere. We were scheduled to have John Hogue as a guest today. He's the author of 23 different books and is considered the world's authority on Nostradamus. We've been trying to reach him now. I hope he's okay. He's not answering his phone. But as soon as we reach him, we will put him on the line. In the meantime, I'll tell you a little bit about John and some of the things we'll be covering in our program and the upcoming guests. John lives in nearby Whidbey Island, and he will be joining us shortly by telephone. During the first half hour, I will be interviewing John about his works and predictions for the next 50 years, including a possible World War III starting in the next few years, a Chinese naval invasion of Seattle in the early 2020s, and an Earth shift predicted to occur during the late 2020s. In addition, we'll be continuing our conversation with John on next week's program, so be sure to tune in for part two next Friday. For a quick look into our next few programs, on Friday, November 29th, we'll be talking to an accomplished Seattle psychic, Miss Karen Winterlin, and on December 6th, we'll be having one of the best psychics in San Francisco and on the West Coast on the program, Miss Lila Ray, who will be talking about developing your own psychic abilities. Lila is a sixth-generation psychic, and she is simply amazing. I guarantee you will find her interview fascinating, one that you will not want to miss. Then on December 13th, we will be having well-known Portland psychic, Sarah Callahan. December 20th, we'll be having an intuitive spiritual healer, Kadena Sanders, from the Vancouver, Washington area. And be sure to tune in for that show, because it'll most likely be a rousing discussion on alternative healing methods. Excuse me. For the last week of December, we will be welcoming Dr. Louis Turi of France on the 27th of December for our predictions for the future. Dr. Turi is the most famous and probably the best psychic and astrologer in Europe, and we will be going live by telephone to Paris, France to interview him for the program. On January 17th, 2014, we will be interviewing Christine Day, who is a Pleiadian ambassador. For those who do not know about the Pleiadians, they say that they seeded this planet many, many years ago, and we look just like them. They say that they are 28,000 years ahead of us technologically and 8,000 years ahead of us spiritually. For those interested in listening to and speaking with a representative of a truly advanced human civilization that is out of this world and tens of thousands of years ahead of this one, please tune in for what will be likely a out-of-this-world experience. As an aside note, in December 1994, I flew to Zurich, Switzerland, and visited a Pleiadian starbase outside of Zurich. It was very interesting, and if we have time today, I can tell the listeners a little bit about that. Next year, we will also be having Eric von Däniken of Switzerland on our program. He's the author of the famous book, Chariots of the Gods, which has sold millions and millions of copies. I guarantee his interview will be truly another out-of-this-world experience for our listeners. Finally, there are a lot of people and businesses who made this program possible today, including Seattle psychic Karen Winterlin, noted San Francisco psychic Lila Ray, the Viagra Bookstore, the Quest Bookstore, and the Cutting Edge Bookstore in Seattle. In addition, I would like to thank my foster mother, Terry, and all of my earthly and angelic family for all the love and psychic instruction they have given me for the last 20 years, including my niece and nephew, Josh and Nikki, my parents who brought me into this world and taught me many things, my friend Ann Nelson, professor of Walla Walla College, who initially suggested that I contact KKNW about starting this radio program, and my truly awesome and fantastic friend Carol, who has helped me advance 5 spiritual lifetimes, or roughly 400 years, in the past year through her amazing and wonderful friendship. And because of this spiritual advancement, I am now able to do this program for you. I'd like to go to a break now, and then we'll return in a few minutes.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus, and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease, try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures, but essentially it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades, where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.com. wix.com/out of this world.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Maher, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Candia Sanders. She's considered one of the best intuitive and energetic healers in the Northwest, and I'd like to introduce you to my audience. Candia, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the services you provide?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ted. I am an energetic healer and intuitive. I read the emotional, mental, physical, and sexual body, and then I align them for health and vitality. People come to me for relationships, for career issues, and most importantly, their health. And then, like I said, I can see into the body, and I do my magic and align them, and people come back happy and healthy and feeling alive and spirited.
Wonderful. You probably pick up where the medical profession leaves off, I assume.
That is my job.
Well, good. And, Candia, how long have you been doing this?
I have been intuitive since I was little, and I mean 4 years old. Medical intuitive in the 90s and the healing in the 90s. So I've integrated those into my work for the last nearly 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, friends, if you need the help of an excellent intuitive and healer, I strongly urge you to contact Candia. Her link's on my website, which is www.wix.com/out of this world. And I've actually had her do some work for myself, and I've been very happy, and I strongly recommend her to all my listeners.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. Well, Mr. Hogue is apparently unavailable. John, if you're listening, please call the station. But if something apparently has been detained him, but John, I hope you're okay. And we'll have John on again a week from today on the next program. In the meantime, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I became interested in psychic phenomena in 1994 when I met my friend Terry, who was a master psychic. She did work for the police departments here in the area, finding missing and lost children. It was kind of sad work, she used to tell me, because often the children would be, of course, dead or greatly harmed. And but she was very good at what she did. I'll never forget the time that I walked into her her house, and she told me everything that was on my mind. She knew the questions I was going to ask, and she gave me all the answers within a couple of minutes without even me saying anything. She was an amazing, amazing person, and I'm so grateful to have known her. One thing that Terry did was she developed my psychic abilities, and so now I am able to communicate regularly with people who have passed on the other side. I have about 10 to 12 different angels who are around me constantly, and about 3 or 4 years ago, they took me one night to heaven. They took me into the fifth dimension, where we had kind of like a family reunion, and I'll never forget. I was in a totally blissful state, and then when I came back and I woke up the next morning, there was this glow around me for several days. My friends could see this white light around me. It was the most incredible experience. This journey started back in 1994, and in March of 1999, when my dear father passed away, my dad's spirit contacted Terry. And he started coming through her and delivering messages. And so after that, for the next, from 1999 all the way through last year, 2012, I was in regular contact with my dad and the other spirits of my family. And what I did every day was what's called a life review. Now, if you're interested, what happens is that, for those who are interested in what happens after death, I became very interested in back in 1999 when my dad passed away, as to what happens after you die. I'm sure many of you may have the same questions too, but after you die, from what the spirits have told me, you all go through what's called a universal life review. And at that life review, you go through every thought you've ever had, every action you've ever had, and everything you've done in your entire life. And you not only go through it from your perspective, but you also go through it through each person, whoever you came in contact with, whether that be your parents, a partner, a friend, whatever. And so you get to see their viewpoint as well. Let's say when you were younger, you mistreated an animal. Let's say you mistreated a dog. Well, guess what? When you're in your life review, you not only go through that experience from your perspective of you perpetrating that against this dog, for example, but also you go you see it through the dog's eyes as well. And this helps determine soul growth and as well as spiritual evolution. And the advantage that I've had since 1994 is that I've been able to do a daily life review with my spiritual family every day since 1994, which is almost now getting on 20 years. My guide passed away. Terry passed away in October of or November of last year, and about that same time, I rekindled an old friendship I'd had with a dear friend of mine named Carol, who I hadn't seen in about 30 years. And it's thanks to her friendship that I have advanced another 5 lifetimes, or approximately 400 years, since that time. My spirit guides tell me that since 1994, I have advanced a total of 8 lifetimes. If you measure that each lifetime is approximately 80 years, I've advanced 640 years during the last 20 years or so. I would need to live. In other words, if I hadn't been engaged in a spiritual quest and spiritual growth, I would have had to live another 640 years on this planet to attain the same growth I've had during the last 19 years. And in particular, thanks to my friendship with Carol, I've advanced another 400 years in spiritual growth. There's a lot of changes coming to the Seattle area in the next 15 to 20 years. And the reason I had scheduled John Hogue on today is he's considered the world's authority on Nostradamus. He lives over in Whidbey Island, and he's written about 23 different books on Nostradamus, and it's incredible some of the information he's come out with. Of course, other people have written about Nostradamus as well, and some of the things that people have mentioned about Nostradamus is that he is predicting a Chinese invasion of Seattle, a naval invasion sometime in the early 2020s. It is also predicted for an earth shift somewhere in the late 2020s. If there is an earth shift, the entire coastline of the United States would be affected and much of the coastal areas would go underwater. Now, I want to make it clear to the audience that I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a very positive person, and I'm giving you this information not to make you depressed, but to know that there are alternatives. If we can raise our consciousness and learn to get along with each other better, and this may sound trite, but learn to love each other more and have fewer conflicts and create a better world, these things don't not happen. I know that Nostradamus predicted a third world war starting in a couple of years here on the planet. That doesn't have to happen either if people get along. This conflict, for example, with Iran doesn't have to happen. The Middle East always seems to be a cauldron of emotions, but, you know, we don't have to go to war. Why can't we sit down and just work our differences out? I mean, that seems a preferable thing to going ahead and trying to kill each other through a war. Because I think if we do have a third world war coming up this time, there will be probably very few survivors just because of nuclear weapons. Here's something that the audience may be interested in. Each of you have at least one angel around you. And those angels are there to protect you and help you. Often they're family members. They could be a friend, for example, who's passed on. And they often send you messages. Unfortunately, our education system and society doesn't recognize angels as much as I think they should. So whenever you get an intuitive hunch that you should do something or an idea in your head pops in suddenly that you feel that's the right thing to do, often those are given to you by angels, which are there trying to help you out. For those interested in having questions on how to contact your angels or spirit guides, please call into the program. We'll be taking questions for the third and fourth segments, and I'd be happy to instruct you on how to contact your angels and spirit guides. The other thing, too, that I've developed is the ability to see auras, and also, too, I can see spirits and also sense their presence, too. There's a whole other dimension beyond this one. We exist in the third dimension, but some say that there's an addition. In addition to this third dimension, there's an additional 8 or 9 different dimensions beyond this one. The fourth dimension is time. The fifth dimension is where good psychics often get their information. In the fifth dimension, there's only truth. It's heaven, if you will, or God's paradise. And a good psychic can tie into the fifth dimension and get the answers for what you want and what you need. One of the psychics that I'm having on the program on December 6th is Lila Ray from San Francisco. She's one of the best psychics, if not the best psychic in the San Francisco Bay Area, and if not one of the best psychics on the West Coast. When I first spoke to Lila Ray by phone in July, for example, I had barely been on the phone for a minute when she knew my name, the questions I was going to ask, and the answers. I actually flew down to San Francisco about 10 days ago, and I met with her. And it was the same kind of thing. She knew what was on my mind. She knew what things I was concerned about, and she also knew the answers, too. A good psychic has the ability to tie into the fifth dimension and also read people's minds as well. Cumulatively, this planet and the people on it here are supposed to evolve into the fifth dimension. And what that means is that when we do go into the fifth dimension, nobody will be able to lie about anything because they'll just know the truth. The Pleiadians that I mentioned earlier, Christine Day, who will be coming on the program on January 17th, they look just like us. The only difference is that they're slightly taller, their earlobes are slightly elongated, and they live for approximately 10 to 12 times more than we do. A 300-year-old Pleiadian woman looks like she's 30 years old, for example. They communicate mostly telepathically. It's funny, but when they're here on Earth, they have to learn how to use their vocal cords because they've become disused after so many years of evolution. As I mentioned earlier, they are 28,000 years ahead of us technologically and 8,000 years ahead of us spiritually. Some of them exist in the fifth dimension. Some of them flip-flop between the third and fifth dimensions and higher dimensions. So, for example, some of them appear in partial physical form in the third dimension and partial spiritual form. But they're an example of the kind of evolution that we are destined to become. I think I'd like to take a break now and then come back and maybe take some questions from the audience. I'd love to hear from you. And also, this program will be tailored to your needs and interests. And if you have any programming guides or programming suggestions or comments, I'll give you a number at the end of the show. You're welcome to call in. And I will be happy to tailor the program to whatever interest things you're interested in. Thank you.
In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 5555, your arms are hanging limp at your side.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease, try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures, but essentially it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of my, what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I know you deceived me. Now here's a surprise.
Hello, listeners. I forgot to give out the phone number earlier. By the way, you're listening to Out of This World with your host, Ted Marr. It's a psychic program. The call letters are 1150 AM, KKNW here in Bellevue. Our phone number here for direct number is 425-373-5527. Or toll-free is 1-888-298-5569. I'll repeat the last number in case you need it. 1-888-298-5569. Anyone who's interested in spiritual matters, contacting your angels, or having some spiritual guidance, feel free to call in, and I'd be happy to help you as best as I can. The other thing I'd like that the program will be going into are UFOs. I'm sure a lot of people are out there are interested in them. One thing is you know, that a lot of programs comment, of course, on lights in the sky, and they see different unidentified flying objects, and they don't know where they're coming from or who's flying them, whether they're maybe some of ours, maybe they're not from this planet. But I've been interested in UFOs for the past about 35 years. I've collected probably several hundred books on this subject, and from my readings, there are two main groups of aliens from other planets which visit this one. The first group is called the Galactic Federation of Planets, and the second group is called the Reptilian Empire. The Galactic Federation of Planets is kind of like the United Nations of star systems. They comprise 143 different star systems. Most of them are human. Some of them aren't, but most of them, probably 80% at least, are human. All of them are at least several thousand years ahead of us, evolved both technologically and spiritually. They come from such diverse places as the Pleiadian constellation, which is about 60 to 80 light years from here, as well as the Andromeda Galaxy. The Pleiadians, as I mentioned before, and who will be on the program on January 17th, are 28,000 years ahead of us technologically and 8,000 years ahead of us spiritually. The Andromedans are, I believe, further advanced than even the Pleiadians are. They are human. They look just like us, except for two differences. Number one, their skin's a light blue in color. And they also communicate telepathically. For them to communicate with vocal cords takes some time for them to do. The other group of aliens which visit this planet are what's called the Reptilian or Draco Empire. There's a long history of our government's involvement with the Reptilians. A lot of you probably don't realize it, but according to some of the sources I've read, President Roosevelt first met with a group of Reptilians in 1934 in the Panama Canal. As a result of that meeting, the Reptilians agreed to share some of their military technology with our U.S. government in exchange for studying us. And they, among the things they gave President FDR was time travel technology, and which resulted in the Philadelphia experiment, which occurred in 1943, I believe, in Philadelphia. At the time, a lot of our ships were being sunk by Nazi U-boat hunters, and so our government, particularly our military, was interested in having a ship disappear into another dimension and then rematerialize several hundred miles away to escape a U-boat threat of being sunk. Einstein was one of the scientists involved with this experiment. It was successful. They did move have this entire ship moved from the Philadelphia stockyards to Virginia Beach and then back again. Unfortunately, there were a lot of Navy crewmen on that ship, and what happened to the Navy crewmen is that some of them got stuck in the middle of the ship, and when they rematerialized back in the naval dockyards in Philadelphia, some of them were caught between slabs of steel. Others, because we didn't really know how to use the technology, went insane. And still others were lost in a time warp continuum where they would appear and then disappear and then reappear every 20 years. So they disappeared in 1943, they reappeared in 1963, disappeared, reappeared in 1983, and then appeared and then disappeared in 2003. They're kind of lost in the dimensions. In 1954, there was a whole bunch of UFO sightings in the nation's capital at the time. Of course, Eisenhower was president at the time. The first group of aliens who visit Eisenhower was from the Galactic Federation of Planets. They were represented by the Pleiadians, who looked just like us. The Pleiadians offered to share their technology and spiritual development with Eisenhower if he would get rid of his nuclear weapons. Eisenhower refused at the time, saying that we were in a Cold War with the Soviets. So about 6 months later, guess who shows up? The Reptilians show up. And they offered the same deal to Eisenhower, except with one difference. They said, we will share our technology with you, our UFO technology and other technology, if you agree to let us, quote, study your human race. Eisenhower agreed. It's called the Treaty of Merida. It was signed at Edwards Air Force Base in 1954. The cover story for Eisenhower was that he was at a dental appointment. But apparently this has been all filmed. The agreements are supposedly tucked away at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, where a lot of UFO technology is located. And so since that time, since 1954, there's been an active exchange between these reptilians and our U.S. military. This has resulted, some say, in a covert space program. There's a covert space program that allegedly is based outside of Denver. It's a black space program where they regularly send astronauts in back-engineered UFOs to Mars and Pluto. They've gone beyond they've gone to the reaches of the solar system and beyond. And it may be one reason why President Obama has basically gutted NASA now, because in the back of his mind, why should they fund NASA when they already have the technology that's thousands of years ahead of us, and put money into a program that's only good for 21st century technology. There was a famous book written by Colonel Corso. He wrote a book called The Day After Roswell back about 10 to 13 years ago. At the time, he was about 80, 85 years old. He passed away shortly thereafter, but he was in charge of the military office in the mid to late 50s and early 60s, which transferred this technology from the reptilians to the military and to our different major corporations. I'd like to go to a break now, and then we'll return in a few minutes.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Maher, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Candia Sanders. She's considered one of the best intuitive and energetic healers in the Northwest, and I'd like to introduce you to my audience. Candia, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the services you provide?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ted. I am an energetic healer and intuitive. I read the emotional, mental, physical, and sexual body, and then I align them for health and vitality. People come to me for relationships, for career issues, and most importantly, their health. And then, like I said, I can see into the body, and I do my magic and align them, and people come back happy and healthy and feeling alive and spirited.
Wonderful. You probably pick up where the medical profession leaves off, I assume.
That is my job.
Well, good. And Candy, how long have you been doing this?
I have been intuitive since I was little, and I mean 4 years old. Medical intuitive in the 90s and the healing in the 90s. So I've integrated those into my work for the last nearly 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, friends, if you need the help of an excellent intuitive and healer, I strongly urge you to contact Candia. Her link's on my website, which is www.wix.com/out-of-this-world. And I've actually had her do some work for myself, and I've been very happy, and I strongly recommend her to all my listeners.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
Well, hello, listeners. I've got good news. John Hogue just called in. He had a family emergency, but I just wanted to quickly finish my thought from previously. This is, by the way, this is KKNW. You're listening to Out of This World with Ted Maher. It's a psychic program. At any rate, a lot of our technology today that we have, they say, is actually from the aliens, including transistors and a lot of computer technology electronics are actually from another civilization. But I'll leave that to another program. We need to talk to John about Nostradamus. John, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Good. Good, John. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, we're fine. It was just one of those. You know, when you're taking care of an aging parent, you know, it's just some things happen. But it's all okay, but it's now we're good. So,
well, I know what it's like, John. I took care of my parents who were elderly in the mid to late 90s, too. So my sympathies go out to you, and I hope your mom's all right.
Yeah, she's good. She's good.
Well, listeners, we're fortunate to have John on the program today. He's considered one of the world's authorities on Nostradamus. And he's been a prolific writer. He's written, I think, 23 books. John, could you tell us a little bit about Nostradamus and how you got interested in him?
I've always been fascinated by the patterns of history, how they keep repeating themselves in the past, and how we seem to keep changing our opinions, our costumes, our politics, our religions, but it seems that we don't change. The more we advance, the more we don't change, and this also seems to be expressed in the scriptures of the world and the prophetic traditions of the world about the future, that there are certain patterns that continue. And I wanted to know what was the nature of what made the past repeat itself and call itself the future. And, of course, in the process of looking at any of the prophetic traditions of the world, the Nostradamus cast his giant shadow upon all of it. And I started to delve deep into his work, which ended up seeing me create one of the first complete translations of Nostradamus' complete prophecies and interpretation in 450 years after Edgar Leone, who did it in 1961, and I did it in 1997. And since that time, I've been pretty much known around the world for my expertise in the subject of Nostradamus.
Oh, fantastic. What kinds of things do you see predicted for the Seattle area in the next, let's say, 15, 20 years or worldwide, John, from your research?
Well, the most important thing, and it's one of the things I like about the concept of your new show, Ted, is that You know, there's a lot of things out there that look at the world, but I think it's important for there to be shows that look at the regional impacts of world events. And one of the most important ones that comes to mind is a cautionary tale in astrology dealing with August 2017. This is the time that the Pacific Northwest is going to undergo its first total eclipse since, I believe, 1979. And the last time that we had that happen over Portland and over the southern Washington state, this time it's a little more central Oregon, we had a year or so later the Mount St. Helens eruption. What I've been noticing over the last 30 years of studying prophecy is an interesting correlation, rather dire correlation, between where the shadow of a total eclipse touches the earth and how it, within 18 months, few months after, few weeks to 18 months to 2 years after, you see a string of natural disasters, earthquakes, and things that happen along that same shadow's line. Case in point, the last time the Northwest had a total eclipse, as I said, when it came over an area in 1979, it ended up, we had nearly a year later, an earthquake and a volcanic eruption in Mount St. Helens.
That's right.
What is going to happen in 2017, in August, is that around the north-central part of the subduction zone, this shadow will begin to fall as it goes into around Center Point, Oregon, just south of Portland this time, for a total eclipse. It will then cross over the area of the Yellowstone supervolcano, the southern portion of it. It'll take 2.5 hours for this shadow to pass over the entire United States. After it goes over us, after it goes over Yellowstone, which has also hot seismic potentials, upward leading to a supervolcanic eruption, it will exactly reach its darkest point a little beyond passing over the New Madrid fault line in Missouri, which was responsible for some of the largest earthquakes that the lower 48 United States ever experienced back in 1812. Then it goes off the North American continent right over Charleston in South Carolina. That is also an area of high seismic activity. So what we're having in this situation for America is an eclipse that passes 4 of the 5 major seismic zones of the United States in one eclipse pass. So if there ever was a time that the Northwest is going to see something like the super earthquake that hit in 1700s in our lifetime, it will be from 2017 through early 2020 as the danger window. So I've been writing about this now for a couple of years in hopes that rather than to frighten people, it will be a catalyst for more earthquake preparedness. We are very unprepared in the Pacific Northwest for the kind of quakes that we have seen in Bandar Aceh during the Boxer Day earthquake in 2004 that caused the Indian Ocean tsunami. Right. We are similarly unprepared. If Tohoku in Japan back in 11th of March 2011, if they had been as unprepared as we are, rather than losing 24,000 people, they might have lost a few hundred thousand people to the tidal wave. So the indications are, as I've been writing about them, is that the earthquakes are actually, for the subduction zone quake, are farther out to sea now. They will happen farther out, which is good news for the seismic damage that we might receive here in the Northwest, but bad news for the tsunami, because it means it'll be a much larger tsunami, akin to what hit Japan in 2011. Mm-hmm. So we, and Bandar Aceh as well, in 2004. So this is the key natural earth change that concerns me for our region.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. That certainly is good information. To be aware is to be prepared, certainly, and it's better to have a forecast of this so people can prepare, certainly. I look at things in terms of a spiritual question. It's like, why is this happening? Why do things, earth disasters happen in a way? And the way I look at it is this way, is that I think that if we learn to get along better as a civilization, to learn to stop fighting, to stop having these wars, I may sound idealistic, John, but I think if we can learn to get along with each other better, then a lot of these earth changes don't necessarily have to happen. I think that certainly a tsunami hitting the coast of Washington along the west coast of the United States would certainly harm a lot of people. But perhaps if we spiritually advance as a civilization and as a nation, then these things don't necessarily have to happen. What is your thought on that, John?
Well, Ted, there's an interesting correlation between the subjective and the objective here. Because what you're essentially saying is if we have a change in consciousness where we see our interconnectivity, if we see that we need to have everyone have mutual profit and be enriched in all corner levels of life, if we follow the golden rule and see love as a key component and compassion to our lives, then that changes the kind of behavior that you're seeing today that is actually creating in the real phenomenal world, the objective world, these problems, you know, the way we're abusing the earth, the way we're overpolluting, the way we are having tensions in the world that are actually creating a rising ocean, which is weighing down the seabeds, which is actually triggering more earthquakes. So there is actually a practical connection to the more subjective hopes and concerns that you've conveyed, that because we are behaving unconsciously, we are doing things in the objective world that are creating situations when, for instance, the glaciers melt, it's scientific fact that more volcanic eruptions happen. Mm-hmm. When the oceans rise, the tonnage, even if it's just an inch over a period of 100 years, that's an inch multiplied over square feet of 5/6 of the Earth's surface, pressing down on all the oceans. That means putting more pressure on seismic areas. Look what happened to the subduction zones in Sumatra, the subduction zone off the coasts of Japan, of Chile. These are all directly results. I predict they'll find our results to our bad behaviors creating higher oceans, heavier oceans pressing down on and making quakes. So there is an objective correlation to our unconscious behavior. And if we stop that, that would lower.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate you pointing that out, because I'm sure people out there are wondering, well, what can I do in my own daily activity to raise consciousness, to make the planet a better place? Well, to start with, you can your neighbors and friends and maybe your spouses better than you would otherwise, and that goes to the planet too. We'll have a show on in the future on what specific things people can do, but I think starting from that kind of base certainly would help a lot. John, we're getting close to our hour. I'm sorry, my friend. Is there anything you'd like to tell the audience quick? You'll be on again a week from today.
I'll definitely be on for an hour a week from today, Friday. And I'm sure we can basically start from where we left off here, finding practical connections to the subjective spiritual world, because there are many. And prophecy is a signpost for the potentials, how they echo in the future, how our present actions echo in the future.
Wonderful, wonderful, John. Well, just to wrap it up, we've got a little more than a minute left. This program, Out of This World with Ted Marr, is on KKNW, 1150 AM. We broadcast every Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. This program is supported by both advertisers and listener support. Thus, if you like this program, please send a donation to support it. Your contribution will be greatly appreciated. Donations should be made out to me, Ted Marr, M-A-H-R, and sent to Out of This World Radio in care of KKNW. Address is 3650 131 First Avenue, Southeast Suite 550, Seattle 98006. If you have questions or comments, please call my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or you can contact me by email at outofthisworld1150 at gmail.com. Our website is outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld. This program is dedicated to raising human consciousness in the most positive way possible. I want it to bring love and light to the Seattle area, and it will be tailored to your needs and interests, and we welcome your comments and suggestions. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you have a good day.
Ooh, nobody's gonna look at you in the year.